Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where CEOs, business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous entrepreneurs, business celebrities, and the Playmakers team of experts. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, speaker, coach, trainer, and master at helping clients grow their business through success skills, leadership development, sales, time management, customer service, communication skills, and behavior change. He's helped generate millions in sales for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. Playmakers Talk Show is all about CEOs and business owners who have found success with their business and with themselves. Now, we have in our studio today Eric Affeldt. He is the CEO of Club Corp. We also have Melinda Marcus of InSykes, and we're going to talk about influencing decisions and how one local country club 56 years ago turned into one of the largest club companies in the world and how these private clubs are changing. Our first guest, though, is Melinda Marcus. When top executives and business owners need to influence big decisions, those in the know have turned to Melinda. Her client experience includes Texas Instruments, Morgan Stanley, and even two NFL teams. Melinda Marcus is the president of Marcus & Associates, has developed InSykes based on her award-winning work in creative marketing and proven studies in the science of influence. And today, we're going to discuss how to influence decision-makers. And she actually should know that very well because she's helped executives win more than, listen closely, $250 million in contracts. Melinda, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. First off, what is InSykes?
InSykes.
And do me a favor, spell that for everybody too, because as I pronounce it, I realize you really can't picture that.
That's exactly right, which is why I actually am going to be changing the name to Influence Advisors, because InSykes is about insights, sounds like insights, but with a twist of psychology, because it has to do with how do you influence decisions on a deeper level that involves what's been tested and proven in psychology to move the needle from a no or a maybe to a yes. It has to do with messaging, which words you choose and what order you put your points in can actually increase your chances of getting a yes by sometimes six times. And body language, how you exhibit positive body language, but maybe even more importantly, reading the nonverbal cues that you're getting from your prospect. And that can tell you if they have a concern so you can circle back and deal with an objection, or when you have buy-in so you can stop selling and start asking for the commitment.
There's a lot involved in that, which we're going to talk about over the next few minutes. When you're working with a client, do you help them make this an automatic, unconscious thing that they do to watch body language and watch what they're doing and also what the prospect is doing?
Well, the key to that is that you have to have practiced what you're doing and feel very, very confident in what you're doing to the point that you are not focused on what you're going to say. You are focused on the engagement of your prospect. So if your focus is on them, then you can learn to read the signals. And with my coaching and consulting clients, it's a matter of, again, practice, because it's not necessarily something that comes natural to everyone. So we work on it till it becomes more natural, and they not only pick up the nonverbals in terms of body language, facial expressions, but also their speaking patterns of the prospect. So in other words, pauses, pacing, pitch changes all indicate things that are going on inside the mind of your prospect.
Yeah, as you're talking about that, what ran through my mind is politicians. I would think this would be perfect for politicians because that's what they're doing, reading their constituents, reading the people around them, and wanting to come across as knowing what they're talking about. Have you worked with politicians in the past?
I avoid that on purpose.
I can understand that.
I work with top corporate executives, generally people who are at a director, president, or CEO level mm-hmm. is where I'm working with people. And I'm really there to help them open doors and close deals. But also I work with them on speaking to their boards of directors, on getting all their employees and team members on board. And the key to that is really about how do you present what you're offering in the best way that people can get it? And that's not always the way that you think it is.
So you're helping them sell more effectively. Be you a salesperson or a leader, manager, it's all about selling. And you're helping them take that message and not only working on the words, massaging the words a little bit, but it's the whole picture to help them get the point across.
That's exactly right, Steve. And I can't overemphasize the psychology piece of that, because really the decisions are made on a much deeper level. All of us want to believe it's made on a logical, rational level. But the top researchers in brain function, in fact, I just saw interviews with the top five scientists at Oxford University, they feel that that piece that is not conscious is probably 98% of where the decision happens first, and then later your logic center comes in and rationalizes that. If people read the book Blink by Gladwell, they'll also know that it's that same little piece that fairly instantly, in the blink of an eye, people are making an unconscious decision and they rationalize it later. Well, psychology research shows us that there are many principles, six that Dr. Robert Cialdini has identified, but there's several others that can actually increase your opportunity for people to get what you're offering and be willing to consider it. So really understanding how you couch your offer is more important than what your offer is.
So those are the six that you have on your website. Is that correct?
I
saw something about the psychology of persuasion.
Right. Actually, those are the ones that I have pulled out. I use from research that's not just in psychology, but also linguistics, that whole piece on language and body language. So there are probably at least 25 that I use with clients that I'm coaching and consulting with. And it depends on the situation on which one or combination would be most effective.
You're talking about that 98%, which is not logic. Would you call that emotion? Is that where you want your clients to hit it?
Some of it's emotion, some of it's our senses, some of it's the primitive brain in terms of areas where we determine very quickly whether somebody is a friend or foe. In fact, Yale University just did a study that was incredibly breakthrough because it was dealing with infants. So these are babies that can't even speak yet or sit up on their own. And some of the principles, one of them which happens to be that we like people who are like us, so we're looking for similarities, that's already hardwired into us from the time we're 3 months old. So it's not learned. It's there. And that means for new business, one of the very first things you should do is look for something in common with your prospect.
Well, I have seen young children in toy stores and supermarkets with their parents, in most cases their mother. They're influencing their parent. So are we born with a lot of this that you're teaching people and it's beaten out of us over time and you're helping bring that back?
That's an excellent point, Steve. I agree with you 100%. What happens is our basic survival skills, we know body language. What happens is as adults, we've screened it out and we're no longer hearing that come to us. But that's something natural that's helped us survive, right? So that and feeling what the emotions are that the other person's having, all of those things are natural to us. But now we've screened them out because we're too focused on what we're saying and what we want to do. So that's where we've lost it. And I kind of help people bring that back and get sensitized back into listening to what they're really seeing and sensing.
Well, most managers are not taught to become leaders. And many salespeople are taught selling skills, but not all of this. Why haven't we done this in the past? Why haven't we used this to help us lead our people more effectively and persuade others?
I think that there are a lot of thought leaders now who are doing this, mm-hmm. Very much so. But it's something that is really dealing more with strategy as opposed to tactics. I think a lot of what's easy to teach and to put out in a mass level are tactics. This is highly strategic. And people have to be open to that concept and be willing to adjust their style in order to communicate in a way that their prospect can best get it. And most people want to just communicate in the style that's comfortable for them. I call it their pattern under pressure.
Now, you and I spoke in the past about the different personality styles of people. We need to understand ourselves so we can understand how to communicate to other people. And this is part of what you do with your clients, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and in fact, the way I describe it is, have you ever gotten a gift from somebody where it's not at all what you want, but you realize that it's something that they would have loved to have gotten? Okay, that happens all the time. The same thing is in communications. We tend to communicate in the way we want to get it. That only works if the other person's just like us. And there's a very good chance they're not.
I have found in my life, both personally and professionally, that most people are not like me. We are going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue talking to Melinda Marcus about how influencing decisions really go down to that deeper level. Stay with us. Playmakers Talk Show. We'll be right back. Are you a CEO, business owner, or entrepreneur who's achieved outstanding success, or do you know someone who has? Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF. The Playmakers Talk Show is all about leaders who have made it happen in their field or business. We're looking for these high-achieving playmakers as guests on our Playmakers Talk Show. Who are the high-achieving playmakers that you'd like to nominate? Right now, go to PlaymakersTalkShow.com. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and tell us who's the most outstanding playmaker you know.
I'm Corey Mencken with the ASPCA, asking you to join our No Pet Store Puppies campaign and take our pledge not to buy anything at pet stores or on websites that sell puppies. Chances are that the cute puppy in the window or on the internet came from a puppy mill, a large-scale commercial breeding operation where dogs are housed in overcrowded, unsanitary conditions without adequate veterinary care, food, water, or socialization. Help the ASPCA end puppy mill cruelty by taking our pledge at NoPetStorePuppies.com.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. This report reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your hard-earned money in the Wall Street casino. How you can bypass banks and credit cards and become your own source of financing. And how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. And it beats the pants off any IRA or 401k. To learn more about this method and to get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. www.bankonyourself.com.
CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business owners, if 2013 will be your breakout year, listen closely, because the tools necessary for this year's success are available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Our clients are achieving outstanding success results throughout their sales, leadership, and staff teams by using proven methods to help their people not only retain new information, but also give them the tools necessary to implement new skills immediately. They're doing this through leadership results, quantum leap sales, coaching for improved performance, outrageous customer service, and effective time management. Additional success is just around the corner. So if high-result people development is in your organizational plans for you to move to the next level, go right now to PDCChange.com. That's PDCChange.com. And let us know when we can help move you toward your best year ever in 2013.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. And yes, you heard, I am Steve Klein. We are discussing influencing with Melinda Marcus. And Melinda has an interesting background. One of the things that Melinda did, which is partially how I met Melinda, is I understand you were the first female creative director at the Richards Group.
That's correct, from the writing standpoint. So I was there not only doing the writing, but I hired all the writers there.
Did psychology, which is the business you're in, did that influence what you're doing as the creative director in an advertising agency?
Absolutely, because what we are trying to do on a mass level in advertising is influence decisions. And so now I'm doing that more one-on-one or one-on-20. But it's the same principles apply in a little different way. And one thing that's kind of interesting that I didn't know back then, that due to my training subsequently that I know now, is most of the photography that you see in ads or on annual reports or on websites, you have CEOs and top-level people showing negative body language. And the reason they're doing that is because the photographers think it looks cool. And what they don't realize is the unconscious message being sent out, and which has been measured, is that I'm standing off from you. There's a barrier between me and you. I'm aggressive and angry. I mean, those are the kinds of unconscious messages being given off by the body language. And most people have no clue that that's what they've got on their website. So I didn't understand that either. I made those exact same mistakes when I was in advertising, but since have learned that you really have to pay attention to that facial expression and to that body language whenever you're presenting somebody in either a video or on in a photograph. And I coach a number of executives who are on TV all the time for just that piece.
We're taught all the time, especially in sales, that we should smile while we're on the telephone. But I was watching a video last week, a video by Jack Canfield, one of the two authors of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And he said, when you're in a meeting with your group of people, instead of standing face-to-face with each other, almost make a V, which makes you more open. Now, is that part of the body language that you help your clients understand?
Yeah, because face-to-face can be very confrontational. The other thing I want to comment on the smiling, it's absolutely true when you're on the phone, when it's an audio thing, to do that. And they've even done studies with people, because when you're smiling, even though the other person can't see you on the phone, your brain is being sent a message by your own muscles and body language that tell it how to feel. So when you are smiling, you are actually feeling more optimistic, more positive. And they did studies with people where they had them bite on a pencil. If your listeners will do that right now, you'll see that the muscles engaged are the same as when you're smiling. Those people rated stories they were reading much happier, much more optimistic, much more positive. So it's not just the signal you're giving to somebody else with your body language, it's the signal you are telling your own brain. So smiling when you're on the phone is important. Smiling too much in person in a meeting shows weakness and submissiveness. So that's where there's little subtleties, and that's really the key to what I coach people on, that there's very subtle differences in the way you present yourself that can have a huge impact on your business outcome.
One of the things that amazes me is the digital cartoons that we see today. And you watch these characters and they have many of those human emotions on their face. Somebody understanding psychology had to have worked with them to get those across.
Yeah, and they did a lot of research on that. And actually, psychologists and psychiatrists started coming in to doing research for advertising agencies back in the 1950s. And for cartoon characters, for example, having the head that is much larger than proportionate to the body and having the really big eyes, those are all things that, to us, engage the sense of how we feel about babies. And it causes very positive, caring feelings from us. That's why, by the way, Vanna White got picked to do her job, because as soon as, I think it was Merv Griffiths, saw the proportion to her head, to her body, he said, she's in. Because he knew immediately people would react very positively to her.
So it's a psychology not of the good looks or bad looks, it's just how we are built that has an impact too.
That has an impact too, but we also know from studies that people like people who are better looking better. Which is why everyone here, it's a shame that you can't see us, why we all must be very popular.
And we're smiling, too. Well, you have an interesting background. You have a BA with honors in psychology from Northwestern University, but you also have a master's degree in mass communications from SMU. It seems like these fit really well together in what you do.
They're absolutely perfect. And what you don't see is on my background is something that is pretty rare. My dad is a psychiatrist. My mom was a social worker. So basically, I was actually raised from infancy with 24/7 psychiatric care.
Yeah, apparently all psychology. And that's either going to go one of two ways. So apparently it came out positive rather than negative. But it's all about influencing other people. And you talked about those subtle things that we take for granted in many cases. So to a large degree, you're really helping point things out to people in the way we need to have those subtle things in our body language, but also in looking for them in other people. Because if you can see something negative, do you show them how they can kind of change their approach to get to them?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, you need to establish a baseline of knowing, was the negative thing having to do with a point you made? Or was it something where somebody shifted because they were uncomfortable in their chair? So you need to know what their norm is before you can make judgments on that. And the best way to do that is to go off the subject you were on when you saw the shift that to go to negative, go to something else, see if they change. And when you come back to it, do they go back to the negative or stress signs again? And by doing that very thing, I've had two clients that are in sales tell me that that helped them get off of stuck on multi-million-dollar deals. Just recognizing that, going back to it, and being able to overcome an objection that the prospect did not voice, but their nonverbals told them.
And I've seen the studies where that nonverbal is greater than 50%.
Yeah.
In terms of how we communicate with people. The classic one that I've always seen is a person that's always is crossing their arms. And I'll ask groups of people, what does that mean? They'll say it's a negative. But many times people just do that because it's more comfortable.
Right. But listen to what you said. You said because it's more comfortable. The reason it is more comfortable is because they're feeling stress. And so what the brain does is it takes your arms and hands and says, you know what? I'm going to relieve that stress by giving myself a nice little hug. And that's why you're more comfortable with your arms crossed. However, in studies where they've shown people, they've taped people in their homes, they almost never have their arms crossed.
Because it's a stress-free environment in many cases.
Correct. Absolutely. There's one point I do want to make about this because I get this question all the time. And it has to do with what's the difference between manipulation and influence. And I think it's really an important question because manipulation is a form of influence. It's a form that if you do that to somebody, you'll only get to do it once. You're not going to form any kind of long-term relationship. And it's not one that I recommend. What I teach is ethical influence. And the difference to me is if you ask yourself this question, if my prospect says yes, who benefits? If I'm the only one who benefits, then that's manipulation. If my prospect benefits, even if I also benefit, then that is influence. And I feel that that's what you really want to do is ethical influence that builds long-term relationships that are win-win.
So long range, which is the ethical influencing. To kind of wrap all this up, one of the things we talked about was some of the common pitfalls you see in your work with entrepreneurs. Are there any specific pitfalls that you've seen in working with them?
Yes, and I see this not only with entrepreneurs, but I work with top-level people at large companies, corporations, including Fortune 500 companies. One of the most common things I see, even when people aren't aware of it, is that they're talking to themselves about themselves. And what I mean by that is, if you're out there and you're a listener, and your presentation is a presentation that you've put together, and you have a template, and it starts with, this is who we are, this is about us, you are talking to yourself. And you're talking about yourself. And what you generally do there is you're talking about what you think is great about you. That may or may not be what the client thinks is great about you or what they need. So what I would say is you need to start focusing on who you're talking to, customizing it to their personality dynamic and their need. Because if they don't feel that you're serving a need for them and answering a problem, then it really doesn't matter who you are.
Good point to bring this to a conclusion. Melinda Marcus, thank you very much for being with us. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
The easiest way, since Insights is so hard to spell, is just go to influencebigdecisions.com. It'll take you to my site, influencebigdecisions.com. And on there, if you want to, there's a lot of articles on there that are just short about how to read body language, the psychology behind advertising, how to do an interview. It'll be something that'll be interesting to you, even if you just want to learn a little bit more about influence.
Melinda Marcus, thank you very much for being with us. Stay with us. We're going to come right back, and we're going to talk about country clubs and maybe some city clubs. This is Playmakers Talk Show. We'll be back right after this. Attention golfers, keep the date of April 22nd open. Camp Summit, a non-for-profit sleepaway camp for children and adults with special needs, is looking for golfers for their 19th annual benefit golf tournament, April 22nd at Bear Creek at DFW Airport. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program in Argyle, Texas, which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. There are no other camps in our region and only a handful of camps in the U.S. that offer a camping program comparable to Camp Summit. The program is unique because campers are accepted without regard to the severity of their disability, and the program has no upper age limit for adult campers. But Camp Summit needs your help. Again, the 19th Annual Benefit Golf Tournament is April 22nd at the Bear Creek Golf Club. All of the proceeds directly benefit the camping program and the remarkable campers of Camp Summit. So go right now to campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. But the program ends soon. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Are you a CEO, business owner, or entrepreneur who's achieved outstanding success, or do you know someone who has? Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF. The Playmakers Talk Show is all about leaders who have made it happen in their field or business. We're looking for these high-achieving playmakers as guests on our Playmakers Talk Show. Who are the high-achieving playmakers that you'd like to nominate? Right now, go to PlaymakersTalkShow.com. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and tell us who's the most outstanding playmaker you know.
I'm Corey Mencken with the ASPCA, asking you to join our No Pet Store Puppies campaign and take our pledge not to buy anything at pet stores or on websites that sell puppies. Chances are that the cute puppy in the window or on the internet came from a puppy mill, a large-scale commercial breeding operation where dogs are housed in overcrowded, unsanitary conditions without adequate veterinary care, food, water, or socialization. Help the ASPCA end puppy mill cruelty by taking our pledge at NoPetStorePuppies.com.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
Welcome back to the second half of Playmakers Talk Show. Our second guest this afternoon is Eric Affelt, and Eric is the president, CEO, and on his business card, actually it says catalyst and CEO of the World Leader in Private Clubs. Prior to joining Club Cork, Eric served as a principal of KSL Capital Partners, and they are the private equity firm that actually purchased Club Corp in 2006. In 2010, Eric Affelt was named the most powerful person in golf by Golf Inc. magazine, and he was a regional finalist for the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award. Now, since its founding in 1957, Club Corp has operated with the central purpose of building relationships and enriching the lives of its members. Club Corp owns or operates a network of more than 150 golf and country clubs, business clubs, sports clubs, and alumni clubs in 23 states, the District of Columbia, and two foreign countries that serve over 350,000 members with approximately 14,000 peak season employees. Now, some of the clubs that Club Corp owns, which you'll recognize, are the Firestone Country Club, Mission Hills Country Club, Capital Club in Beijing, and the Metropolitan Club in Chicago. So with all that, Eric, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, great to be here.
I'm glad you're here. And interesting in terms of the background of Club Corp and in yourself, so you've been running Club Corp since 2006?
Late 2006. We actually closed on the purchase of the company December 27th, I believe, and I moved to Dallas on January 3rd of 2007.
So you've been here 6 years or so.
Yes.
Have you seen many changes with your company that you've helped implement or just happen as a result of you being here?
Absolutely. And not only within Club Corp, but within the industry. And we're really, a lot of people view us as a golf company. We prefer to refer to ourselves as a membership business. And we have made a lot of changes to our facilities. We've actually reinvested $350 million in capital since we bought Club Corp. primarily with an emphasis to try to get more members of the family involved in the clubs as opposed to what I would call the old-fashioned approach. And you and I may be about the same age, but I know, remember growing up that my dad would go play golf and my mom would take us kids to the pool and never the twain should meet again. Because in the evenings, mom and dad would put on coats and ties and dresses and go to the dining room. And of course, kids weren't invited. So today, clubs are really about involving as many people in the family as possible. And that's where we've invested a lot of our money in reinventing our clubs.
You're selling memberships at all your clubs, and as you're talking about it, to keep a member, you want to have things for them to do. So it sounds like the more active they are, the more involvement they have in the club, the longer they're going to continue with their membership.
No question. We have a saying that precedes my involvement with Club Corp, that users are doozers. Again, as a membership business, we're all about dues. About 48% of our total revenues come from dues as opposed to green fees or cart fees or usage charges. And if you use the club more, logically, like anything else, you're less likely to quit.
If I'm not showing up, I'm wondering why I'm paying these dues, and I'll quit doing it.
Absolutely right.
I was interested in the central purpose as I was reading this a few moments ago in the bio, building relationships and enriching lives. Now, when I think of those words, I don't tie those normally into a country club. So is that the mantra that you have with your employees to help make sure they're doing this with the customers?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, when I meet with our general managers, and in fact, with anybody in our leadership team, I specifically say or ask them, please define for me a good day at the club. And if they don't say, I helped build a relationship or enrich a life, I tell them point blank, I hope you toss and turn all night and don't sleep because you didn't do what we're all about, which is trying to connect people and help them enjoy their lives.
You think about Ritz-Carlton as kind of the ultimate in customer service. Is that direction you're going into with your clubs to give that type of customer service to your members?
I'd say yes, and I'd say yes, and you can tell I'm hesitating a little bit, only in that the Ritz-Carlton model was very process-oriented, systems-oriented. The reality is a hotel, and I've run large integrated resort hotels, is a very different animal than a club. We have people coming to our clubs for a variety of purposes as opposed to I'm going to sleep there or I'm going to eat there, period. Usually that's it. I might have a meeting there. So our employee partners need to be very aware of what it is the member is seeking and help them get to that point as quickly and as easily as possible.
So their job is really to help the members no matter what the question is that they have.
Absolutely right. And as I tell all of our employee partners, and as you mentioned, we have about 14,000 employees around the United States and China and Mexico. How lucky are we to be in a business where people want to come to see us and to visit our facilities? If you can't wake up every day and get excited and be happy about your job, something's wrong because there's a lot of people in a lot of other industries who people are forced to go to. You know, I use this all the time with no disrespect to dental hygienists, but you know, you don't want to generally go to the dentist and open your mouth and have somebody poke and prod. And we, on the other hand, everybody wants to be at our facility, so we better be able to show those people a good time.
I would think that if they're not having fun, they're probably not doing their job really well.
No, not at all.
Well, as far as your background, which really comes first, having a love for golf or the hospitality industry, or both? I mean, how did you begin to do all this?
It clearly wasn't the former. My dad taught me to play golf when I was 8 or 9, and at that time it was all about football, basketball, baseball, faster sports kind of things. And I literally remember telling him, this is the dumbest game in the world. I mean, it's slow, you don't talk, you don't shout, you don't get real excited. And he just laughed, and he said, someday you're really going to appreciate this. And I clearly learned to do that. I took the game back up again at about 30 and so have been a student of the game for many, many years, but not a truly active participant until I got into my 30s. I had the good pleasure of living in Vail, Colorado for about 12 years, which again is all about hospitality, service, recreation, et cetera, because everybody goes there for fun, basically. And during that time, had the opportunity to meet my current partners at KSL Capital and started a private equity firm that invests in nothing but travel and leisure-related industries. So it's really been a lot of fun.
So is this kind of a natural move for you once KSL purchased Club Corp that you would walk in as CEO?
I have gone back and forth, Steve, my partner says, from the owner's box to the batter's box. So I've been both a partner in a private equity firm that is involved in buying companies. But my real joy is in operating companies. It's much more fun to be able to affect change. And if I were trying to buy this radio station, no matter how charming I am or think I am, you might still say, nah, I don't want to do that. And there's nothing I can do about it. Whereas in my current role, we can discuss with our executives what it is we want to accomplish. And we say, let's go, and we accomplish it.
You're a golfer. How often does a CEO of Club Corp get to actually play golf?
It is, you know, my friends think I have the life of Riley, and that must be all I do every day is play golf. The reality is, my first year in the industry, I played 6 rounds of golf. Last year was a big year for me. I played probably 17 rounds of golf. So I tell everybody, I've seen more golf courses than most people on the planet, but it's just, I don't have the time to play as much as I'd like.
I know a lot of golfers who are not even members of country clubs that play golf more often than that. But staying on the sports theme here for a moment, I was really intrigued in your bio that you were the former manager of the Belgian national baseball team.
I was, and they do play baseball in Belgium, and I was very fortunate to have gone over with a small college all-star team. I won't tell you the year because that would really date myself. And I managed a variety of teams in northern Belgium and Antwerp. And shortly before the European Championships, one year, the manager of effectively the Olympic team, because this is a national sport and they compete internationally, resigned. And the federation came to me and said, would you manage the team in the European Championships? And I said, what are you, nuts? I'm 20 years old. Everybody on the team is older than me except one kid. And they said, we know that, but the players have all said they recognize you know more about the game than they do, and they want you. And we are very fortunate. I had the experience of a lifetime, frankly, that the following year we qualified or were invited to play in the World Championships. And it's the first and only year that Belgium has ever played in the World Championships.
Congratulations. So something was obviously done correctly, and they picked the right person. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to continue talking to Club Corp CEO Eric Affeldt about a shootout that'll be coming up soon here in Dallas. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this. CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business owners, if 2013 will be your breakout year, listen closely, because the tools necessary for this year's success are available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Our clients are achieving outstanding success results throughout their sales, leadership, and staff teams by using proven methods to help their people not only retain new information, but also give them the tools necessary to implement new skills immediately. They're doing this through leadership results, quantum leap sales, coaching for improved performance, outrageous customer service, and effective time management. Additional success is just around the corner. So if high-result people development is in your organizational plans for you to move to the next level, go right now to pdcchange.com. That's pdcchange.com. And let us know when we can help move you toward your best year ever in 2013.
If you're a man facing divorce in the South Lake area, you now have access to the services of the country's largest men's divorce law firm, Cordell & Cordell. The firm's attorneys protect and promote men's family and financial interests before, during, and after divorce. Men choose Cordell & Cordell because they want to feel that their interests and the interests of their children are aggressively championed. Now with offices in Southlake in addition to Dallas and Fort Worth, Cordell & Cordell is able to help even more men protect their roles in their children's lives while safeguarding their financial means to do so. If you're a man confronted with a marriage you can't save, you should consider Cordell & Cordell, a partner men can count on. Call the Southlake office at 972-490-DADS. That's 490-DADS. Or visit online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Office is in Dallas, Fort Worth, and by appointment only in Southlake. Joseph Cordell, principal partner.
Attention golfers! Keep the date of April 22nd open. Camp Summit, a non-for-profit sleepaway camp for children and adults with special needs, is looking for golfers for their 19th annual benefit golf tournament, April 22nd at Bear Creek at DFW Airport. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program in Argyle, Texas, which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. There are no other camps in our region and only a handful of camps in the U.S. that offer a camping program comparable to Camp Summit. The program is unique because campers are accepted without regard to the severity of their disability, and the program has no upper age limit for adult campers. But Camp Summit needs your help. Again, the 19th annual benefit golf tournament is April 22nd at the Bear Creek Golf Club. All of the proceeds directly benefit the camping program and the remarkable campers of Camp Summit. So go right now to campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org.
96.3 FM HD2 and 570 AM.
Two great places to keep up with your world with KLIF News and Information.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
Welcome back. Once again, this is Playmakers Talk Show, and we have Catalyst and CEO, and that's what it says on his business card, Eric Affelt of Club Corp. In this day and age, you talk about golf, and generally, it's about men. Have women been a big part of your clubs, both as members and, as you say, not employees, but partners?
Absolutely, Steve. I think to Robert Dedman Sr.'s credit, when he first started Club Corp, going back now to 1957, I think one of his primary objectives were to make clubs exclusive but not exclusionary. And that was an era, as you'll recall, when in some cases women were barred from being in clubs, or minorities were barred from being in clubs. And so he really had the vision of allowing anyone, frankly, to participate in a club experience. And we try to carry that on today. Clearly, and I wish I had thought of this or coined the phrase, I think there's a book out, or at least I believe there is, called Chicanomics. SHE economics. And the women in society, and who are we kidding as guys, you know, they've been driving the economy for a long, long time.
Absolutely.
And just letting us think that we have something to do with it. So we're clearly focused on getting more women involved in the game of golf, kids involved in the game of golf, growing the game of golf, and not only golf, but as we discussed at the break, our business clubs as well. So that when you're traveling around the United States or internationally, if you go to one of our business clubs, you're going to be in a safe, secure, friendly environment where you know what you're going to get from a dining experience and from a service experience.
And for a lot of your members, you have a place to go that, as you say, is safe. It's a meeting place. And there's no question about the quality of what they're going to be receiving when they go there.
Well, we again, people view us as a golf company, I mentioned earlier, but we do over $200 million in food and beverage revenues at our facilities, which makes us a medium-sized restaurant. Frankly, it makes us a pretty good-sized restaurant company.
Mm-hmm.
So we pride ourselves on providing not only great service, but also a great culinary experience, we hope, at all of our clubs. And I should mention, one of the things that really differentiates Club Corp from any of our competitors is the fact that you can join any of our clubs and for a fairly modest upgrade fee have access to all the clubs in the network. So I, for example, am a member at Brookhaven, but were I just a member and not the CEO, I could travel to Chicago and go to a dining club, or Atlanta and go to a golf club, or to Beijing and go to a business club. So it's really a unique experience for people to be able to travel around the country and be part of the family of Club Corp.
With 150 different sites, there's a lot of opportunity to try different ones whenever you're traveling. Coming back to the golf and getting women involved, something is coming up on April 25th through 28th that you're involved with, and that's the North Texas LPGA Shootout. Tell us how the association is now coming back to Club Corp.
Well, we're thrilled to host the first LPGA event in North Texas since the Women's U.S. Open, which was held at Colonial, if I'm not mistaken, over 20 years ago. We've been working with the LPGA for many years. As you know, we own Mission Hills Country Club out in the Palm Springs area, which is the host for the Kraft Nabisco Open, which is the first major on the LPGA event. It used to be called the Dynasure. Some of your listeners may remember that. So we've been very involved with the LPGA for many years. Again, it's a major focus for the company to get women involved in golf. This tournament is going to be phenomenal. We have 99 of the top 100 LPGA players playing in the event. All 10 of the current leaders on the money list will be playing in the event. So it's a marvelous opportunity for all of us to get out and watch these terrific athletes. And I encourage any of the listeners to go to our website, which is NTShootout.com, to get more information about the tournament.
NTShootout.com, and tell us where that's going to be located. Which are your clubs?
It's going to be at our Las Colinas Country Club, which also hosts our Bush Warrior Open in the fall. We're very proud to be affiliated, associated with former President George Bush as he holds a tournament for warriors who have been wounded defending the United States from terrorism.
Oh, that's wonderful. Where are country clubs, city clubs, where is that going in the future? I mean, you are obviously a leader in this venue, but where do you see country clubs as we go out 5, 10, 15, 20 years?
You know, it's a great question, and it's an interesting question because a lot of people view the club industry as a bit of a dinosaur, that was for my dad or my granddad or my grandma or whatever the case would be. I can tell you as a father of two 20-something-year-old daughters that they are as interested in getting together with like-minded friends and meeting new people as anybody, and they just do it in a different fashion today. And the reality is, with no disrespect to the Facebooks of the world, face-to-face interaction is not going away. People do want to actually have contact directly with their friends and to meet new people. So I think that the club industry has a great future ahead of it. I don't see society losing its desire for putting people together in great environments. So we're going to continue to buy clubs. We're going to continue to reinvest in our clubs and hopefully be the focus, be the third place as Starbucks, Howard Schultz, you know, said many years ago that they wanted to be the third place, home, work, and Starbucks. And I met Mr. Schultz and said, "You're in my sandbox, buddy. You better watch out." And he actually got a kick out of it, and he invited me to Seattle to talk about the club business and what we were doing. But we want to be that third place.
I'm reading between the lines here, and it sounds like as a operator of all these clubs that you want to make this a lifestyle event for your members. So on a day-to-day basis, their club is a part of their life.
I hope so. I hope that all of our members view it as an extension. As one of our members in Atlanta, I think they had the best description of the club. I wish I had come up with it. But this is at one of our business clubs, downtown business clubs. And he said, "I feel like it's my living room downtown." And I thought, wow, that is so great. Because you picture comfortable, I'm at home. And he described our club as that. And I thought, wow, that's the nicest compliment we could have ever received.
Well, in traveling a lot, I am a member of the airline, one specific airline club. And it's that place to get away from the maddening crowd. And to a large degree, I'm sure that's where your city clubs and country clubs are too. Here's a place I can go to and I can get away from it. And it's my sanctum to enjoy myself.
No question. And it doesn't matter whether you're a tennis member, and I take great pride in saying I believe we're the largest owner of tennis courts in the world, as well as the largest owner of golf clubs. So whether you're a tennis member or you're enjoying fitness or dining or just hanging out and obviously playing golf, we want to be that space that you feel right at home.
Let me turn it from being the CEO of a large company that owns country clubs and city clubs to you being a CEO. Is there any specific advice that you could give business owners, other CEOs, entrepreneurs in terms of what they need to do to make sure a business runs well?
You know, I'll answer by maybe asking your listeners a question or a challenge. When I interview executives, one of the things I do is ask them to give me their one-word adjective that best describes them. And it's very interesting to me. If someone can't answer that, I'm concerned because they obviously don't know who they are or where they want to go. My answer to that question is curious. And if I had two words, it's habitually curious. I can't stop looking at companies, looking at almost anything and saying, why are they doing it that way? Is there a different way to do it? Is there some way to improve upon this? So my strong encouragement to anybody in business is to constantly ask yourself, what could we do differently? How could we provide a better product or service for whomever you're selling to?
Now, you're saying that as if it's very simple to do, but that's a very difficult thing to do from a CEO point of view, not only to look at that differently, but to take where you are and change. And it's a change that's difficult to make that happen.
Too many people are stuck in what they've done. We're all creatures of habit. Aristotle, and I'll miss the quote, but had a quote that effectively said, success is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. We are what we repeatedly do. And if you wake up every day and ask yourself, what can I do differently? Eventually, you're going to do things differently.
Great note to end that on. Eric Affeldt, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Steve.
Great conversation. Eric is the catalyst and CEO of Club Corp. You can go to clubcorp.com or ntshootout.com to get more information about the tournament. And Belinda Marcus, thank you also very much for being with us. Playmakers Talk Show. If you'd like to get the archives of any of our past show and this show, go to playmakerstalkshow.com. We'll be back next week, same time. Join us then.
Are you a CEO, business owner, or entrepreneur who's achieved outstanding success, or do you know someone who has? Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF. The Playmakers Talk Show is all about leaders who have made it happen in their field or business. We're looking for these high-achieving playmakers as guests on our Playmakers Talk Show. Who are the high-achieving playmakers that you'd like to nominate? Right now, go to PlaymakersTalkShow.com. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and tell us who's the most outstanding playmaker you know.
I'm Corey Mencken with the ASPCA, asking you to join our No Pet Store Puppies campaign and take our pledge not to buy anything at pet stores or on websites that sell puppies. Chances are that the cute puppy in the window or on the internet came from a puppy mill, a large-scale commercial breeding operation where dogs are housed in overcrowded, unsanitary conditions without adequate veterinary care, food, water, or socialization. Help the ASPCA end puppy mill cruelty by taking our pledge at nopetstorepuppies.com.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-WAVE.
CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business owners, if 2013 will be your breakout year, listen closely, because the tools necessary for this year's success are available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Our clients are achieving outstanding success results throughout their sales, leadership, and staff teams by using proven methods to help their people not only retain new information, but also give them the tools necessary to implement new skills immediately. They're doing this through leadership results, quantum leap sales, coaching for improved performance, outrageous customer service, and effective time management. Additional success is just around the corner. So if high-result people development is in your organizational plans for you to move to the next level, go right now to pdcchange.com. That's pdcchange.com. And let us know when we can help move you toward your best year ever in 2013.
I never get the flu.
My kids don't need more shots.
I don't have time.
We're all healthy.
My asthma's under control.
I'm pregnant. I've had the flu. It's not a big deal.
My kids are too old
for
flu.
The media is exaggerating.
I can fight it naturally.
No matter how you build your excuses, the flu can blow your house down. Keep your foundation strong. Vaccinate. Learn more at flu.gov.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Ryan Tedder from One Republic. The beat of our new song, Feel Again, was created with heartbeats of children in need. Find out how it can help frontline health workers save millions of children at everybeatmatters.org.
Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
News and information, 570 AM.
96.3 FM HD2. KLIF Dallas. KSCS FM HD2 Fort Worth. KLIF.com.
A Cumulus station.